So how is it right? How is it right that we have another worldview? And of course our worldview is much more reasonable. Our process of creation is much more reasonable than this idea that simple systems make complex systems, because you don't see that taking place anywhere. It doesn't happen. It's a fact that you can put together bricks to form this building, and that those bricks are very simple systems, and that when you add them together, then you get this beautiful structure, and the bricks themselves are made from sand and mortar and so on, and basically it's just earth, and the earth is atoms. So yeah, in the same way, from atoms, but those atoms didn't join together to become bricks, the bricks didn't come together to become a building, it took a complex structure to make this building. And that complex structure was architect, engineers, human beings, they're all human beings. And that's how this building came about. There's no building where bricks just decide, hey, we're going to get together and we're going to form a house, where they argue amongst themselves, no, I don't want a house, I want to be a temple, I want to become a castle. It doesn't happen like that. So it's unreasonable. It's not something that you see. And despite the fact that there may be so many so-called scientific arguments to propose it, but there's no experiment. But what you do see is that very complex structures make simpler structures. So this iPhone may be a very complex thing, but it was made by a much more complex thing. It may be intelligent, but it was made by a much more intelligent person who designed that. And similarly, everything else that we see that this is actually the way the world functions, is that you have complex systems that ultimately make simpler systems, and we see that when you have this complex system, a building, and if you don't maintain it, if you don't put energy into it by, again, human beings doing that, it will go back to being bricks, and the bricks will go back to being earth. That's what we see, and that's reality. So our explanation that, yes, there is actually a supreme complex system, let's just start with that, and that complex system obviously has to have that which is also in the creation, which means that he has to have a intelligence, and he has to have form and a personality. So let's not call him a complex system, let's just take the great leap of faith and call him God, because ultimately that's what it means. And that very complex system gives rise to other types of less complex systems until it comes down to us, and it comes down to the bricks, and it comes down to the atoms. It makes sense. It makes a lot more sense. But we need to communicate that. And Srila Prabhupada therefore said, this is our teaching. And this is what Srimad Bhagavatam gives. It gives us actually this type of logic, this understanding. And our temple of Vedic Planetarium was meant to actually show how reality makes much more sense, the world around us makes much more sense, when we have this very complex, extraordinary personality who lives in his own world, and from him comes this world. And how to marry that with what we see? I'm going to leave that to smarter brains than me, but it's going on. And that's actually what Srila Prabhupada wanted. What is the correlation between what scientists also see, and they do see things and measure things, and they have certain empirical evidence for that, and what Srimad Bhagavatam states? If we can't bring the things together, and if we can't actually at least convince people of the logic of the statements of the Bhagavatam, they'll reject this statement. They'll reject the process of devotional service. You can't have just some and not the other. And Srila Prabhupada, I remember 1975, when Prabhupada was coming through Toronto, Canada, and it was just then when he was in Toronto that he was translating Fifth Canto. And Srila Prabhupada was here at the time. Whenever Prabhupada would say something, everyone would get to hear it really fast. And we didn't have internet, and telephones were on the landlines, but still, we should get around. And I remember hearing the news, Prabhupada is translating fifth canto, and he says that when it comes out in print, a lot of his disciples are going to leave the movement. Because they're not going to believe in it. Yeah, when you say that the universe, the edges of the universe is being held up by four big elephants, you got to have faith to believe that. And not to speak of all the other things that Shukadeva Goswami perceives and sees. So, and if you tell that to people, then they're going to say, come on, this is like some kind of mythology. But it's not mythology, it's fact. We believe it because we have faith. We say it's fact, but it's not fact, it's faith. We haven't seen it, but we have full faith that it is fact. But other people don't. So how do we give them that faith? And are we really talking? Are we going to convert the scientists? Probably not. Not the diehard scientists. They're way too far gone. They're fanatics. They're fundamentalists. To believe in the Big Bang, you're gone. You've got to be. It's way more out of this world than to believe in God. But they believe it with a vengeance. And that's become the normal, the norm, and it just, that they accept that. But so then we may not convert. But there are a lot of students who are still in the thinking stage. There are a lot of people who are being processed through this whole brainwashing system, which is meant to actually make them a brick in the wall of our consumer society, which is based upon them being materialists, which is based upon material life being the answer to all questions, and that happiness is satisfying your senses, which means that you need a new telephone every 6 months, and you need to have a computer every year, and so many other things, which is what keeps this artificial society alive, that is 99% based on producing completely unnecessary things. And only a few unrespected people called farmers are the ones who are really producing what's really essential for life, which is the food that we eat. And the very, very basic necessities and clothes to wear. So to convince those people, and those are the people who Srila Prabhupada wanted to build this extraordinary structure for, this temple of Vedic planetarium, that would actually show the structure of the universe, show how we marry together what we see with what Bhagavatam says, addresses other issues about the nature of life, the origins of life, and so on, discuss a lot of these controversial points that come up within our scriptures, and at least give reasonable answers that reasonable people who aren't yet brainwashed will accept. And based on that, then they become much more open to accepting these other things that are being talked about here, because this is also far out. You can't believe in God unless you get the dust of the feet of a believer. What's in the dust? Why is the dust so powerful? We take it for granted, but that in itself is a very deep theological statement. How does that dust become empowered? Why the feet? Why not the hand? Although Kaviraj Goswami related, or earlier on, it says Bhakta Pada Juli, or Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhumtiyos. He says there are three powerful things. This one may be the least controversial one, Bhakta Pada Juli, the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. And then the water that washes their feet. I remember once I had one of our congregation members, not really congregation member, but more or less an acquaintance. She just died recently of cancer. And she said, she came to one of our functions, I think it was, anyway, she witnessed a foot bathing ceremony. She says, "This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen." And afterwards, all of these people running around and tracing and throwing this on each other and drinking it. You can't have things like that. It wasn't me, by the way. It was a guest. And so it was hard to explain to her. And Bhakta Bhukti, obviously, is Shedina Mahabal. And the third thing is the remnants of the food. You mean somebody's leftover? I'm going to get spiritually advanced by leaving someone's leftovers. So it requires faith, but we need to start with the things that they really see, the things that they really relate to, the things that they've digested for such a long time in these real slaughterhouses of educational systems. And prove it, it's not proof. Proof based on, depends on what type of premise you start. You can prove anything based on the premise that you start, but the premise is your faith. But at least we can give logical arguments. And for logical, intelligent, somewhat open, more unbiased people, people who are not really, really gone, who are not fundamentalists, then yes, we can prove it to them. And that's the role of Temple of Vedic Planetarium, which now is becoming a little more clear to me. Why India? Because Indians are running the world. It wasn't like that when Srila Prabhupada conceived the idea. But your doctors, your engineers, your architects, your everybody, except for the politicians in the West, the best ones, are all coming from India. And in fact, now they're even going back because they can make more money there in India than they can here. And India is becoming now recognized as no longer just a poverty-stricken country, although there is still unbelievable poverty and unbelievable corruption. But still, it's being an economic force so that people will come and see this extraordinary temple, this extraordinary city, which will is not just a place of worship. It's not just because Lord Nityananda predicted that, well, here would be a great temple, and it's not just because it's our world headquarters, but this is where we make a real statement in real grand style, because Srila Prabhupada's style was grand, and any other style, was to do it in real, real grand style, to dismantle the modern scientific way of thinking, and to actually prove that what Srimad Bhagavatam says, excuse me, not prove, but to give reason and evidence why what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying is actually the way of thinking for sane people. This project has been lagging for some time. In 1976, when I went to Mayapur, there was an exhibition of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium at that time. That wasn't the temple that we were constructing at the present time, and that was a long—that was almost 40 years ago. Now it's finally coming up, especially by the dedication and determination of Ambarish Prabhu. And here's the opportunity, really. And Srila Prabhupada had said he wanted, actually, that from book distribution and from the yatras worldwide, that this temple actually would be also constructed. So to two people, or at least to Prabhupada, divided the responsibility in two. One, he asked Ambarish that he should help, and the other, he wanted the devotees around the world to take responsibility and actually participate in this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to help build this temple, the Vedic Planetarium. The superstructure's there. If you go on the website, you'll see, if you've been to Mayapur, it's mind-boggling, the dimension, the scale, the size of that building. And the effect that it will have is also mind-boggling on, firstly and foremost, on the Indian people who will come to visit it, and the people who will come from all over the world to actually see it, the impact it will have, the message that it will give. So of what relevance is it to us to build a temple there? We've got to build our own temples. We have difficulty maintaining our own temples. It's of relevance in this way. No one is ever going to build another building. something like this for a long time. It's worthy of our world headquarters, and we need to be behind and support that preaching effort. Because this, and our chanting, and our doing our kirtan, and what are the other things that we do, as Prabhupada said, this is our private business, this is our private affair, but this is everybody's affair. It's to somehow or another undermine destroy the foundations of this materialistic, soul-killing society, civilization. And the contemplative planetary mystery of Prabhupada's visionary approach for it won't achieve all that. We need to be preaching all over the world in order to be able to do that. But it's certainly a great and wonderful statement. So if you go online, then you'll see that anyone for $150 can sponsor 1 square foot of the temple. $150, almost anyone can afford. Or if you want to go for 10 meters, and it costs 1 square meter, it was $1,500, and of course, dollars, and beyond that, as much as you would like, whether it's individuals, or yatras, or temples, or a combination of all of those. But for both as our duty, and also for our own spiritual health, the more that we're connected to Sridhar Mayapur, the better for our own individual Krishna consciousness and the blessings that we'll get from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And particularly after 2 generations, we really need to put this temple in place to actually really complete it and have it do its work. Because overall, as a society, and of course, it's not any one individual's here fault, and the majority of the responsibility lies on the head of the GBC body. But still, we must be realizing Sri Prabhupada's desire, and therefore request all of you to go on site, and whether as individuals and as temples or yatras, and please do what you can to contribute towards this fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's vision. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Any comments? Prabhupada, who is one of the GBCs of Mayapur, just add a few words, please. This is a rare thing for me to speak.
I think I would say that I would encourage everybody to follow your request line to help contribute. Well, actually, just on that point, I mean, the other point about chanting and our internal practices, our private business, and our real business is preaching, and of course that was Prabhupada. That's the essence of Srila Prabhupada, was that everything was preaching, leaving India at the age of 69 to come to the West to start a movement. And this will have a massive impact. The building already, the superstructure is already having a massive impact, actually, just in terms of its size, and that's really a big impact already. But you know, when the planetarium particularly is finished, it's going to be huge impact in terms of it's just going to be so challenging for people. And as you say, there will be some people who really resist it and hate it for what it's saying. But there's a huge audience out there that can be very, very positively affected by it. And Ambarish, just going back to the other point about getting it done, because that's the thing, it does go back to about that, as you say, in the 70s, was talking about it, and it's only started now, 2 years ago or so, the actual construction started. But Ambarish Guru, his commitment, which was a massive commitment, in excess of $20 million, it's all been spent now. It's all been spent. It's gone. And without wanting to frighten anybody, you know, there is an issue about momentum with the project.
Slowing down.
You know, and money. Like literally, they're down below $1 million now. What's left in the TLBP account? And I was just at a function actually with Aaron Breach in London a few weeks ago, where we met a member of the royal family, a relatively junior member of the royal family, but still the royal family nonetheless, and also a lady from the entertainment world. They both committed at that meeting to come to Mayapur in February for the Gopani Festival. We'll have this lady chant Hare Krishna from the main stage at the festival. But also, the royal family member has said she'll do everything she can to get one of the senior royals to also come to the temple, if not within the next year or two, definitely for the opening. And the opening, again, just going back to the point about everybody getting behind this and really pushing it and promoting it and whatever, is that originally the opening was scheduled for 2016. That's actually been pushed back now to 2020.
Uh-huh.
And the main reason for that pushback
is
finance. So, yeah, it's such an important thing.
Yes. I'm just going to reiterate that Prakash was saying that the construction is slowing down, and so it's a real, real need. And just to give an idea...
Actually, just one final statistic just reminded me, because yesterday, our meeting, as you know, one of the subjects of book distribution and the decline of book distribution. The more the book distribution increases, the more likely we'll go to Mayapur, because a certain percentage of the funds that the PT raises goes to the construction of Mayapur. So actually, you know, it's a win-win. If the book distribution increases, then more money goes to Mayapur. That was.
I think God brothers, God sisters, remember that even in 76, when we were doing book distribution, there was a thing that from every book, a penny or a certain amount is actually going to build Mayapur. That was already the mantra then in Prabhupada's time. And we were thinking like that, that as we're distributing books, Mayapur is being built. But when you mentioned this about the royal family, I remember that just to give an idea of how important and this project was to be with Prabhupada and the Acharyas, and how much blessings is involved, that the I don't know whether it's in a walk or somewhere where the statement was made that Srila Prabhupada will bring the Queen of England or the King of England, whoever it is, to Mayapur for the opening. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you do that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will come from the spiritual world, take you by the hand, and personally take you back to Godhead. So a lot of mercy to be gained here by the English yatra. For Gosh. Just imagine that. And of course Prabhupada didn't say this as an exaggeration. Just that thing, bringing that focus, the world's focus obviously. It's like, I don't know if you noticed that, but when they talk about the Queen of England, they don't say the Queen of England. They just say the Queen. For every other country, they'll talk about the Queen of the Netherlands or and so on. But when it's talk about Elizabeth, and she's the Queen. So it would focus, the phenomenal focus of the world, that going to Mayapur, going to this place, and it would have such a preaching impact. Bhaktivinoda Thakur coming from the spiritual world and taking you back to God. Take you by the hand, Prabhupada said, take you back to God. So it's a, it's all our home, Mayapur is our home, it's actually the heart of our Sankirtan movement. And we really need to pull together, as Titik Shukrabhu emphasizes, book distribution, certainly. But in the meantime, whatever funds that we can spare for that, it would be a real wonderful contribution, and it will not go unnoticed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and everyone else.
And the main reason for the square people, but obviously that's wonderful. But it's a way that everybody actually can get the most out of their shuvah and sit down and have more back.
Let's leave it at that. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai, Tanpur Vedic Planetarium ki jai, Shishi Panchatattva ki jai.